If you would, open your Bibles first to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Technical difficulties here. I had intended to bring a message on verses 20 and 21 of Hebrews chapter 11. And when I finished it, I looked at it and thought, well, that's way too long. So I split it into two parts. So the title of the message this morning is Faith's Blessing, Part 1. You might be surprised to find out, Lord willing, next Sunday we'll have a message, Faith's Blessing, Part 2. But verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 11 says this, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now I really just want to ask and answer two questions this morning. Number one is this, how do I get this blessing? This blessing that's spoken of here, how do I get this blessing? And number two, what's the blessing? What is the blessing being referred to here? Now, if you would, turn back to Genesis chapter 27, the passage that we read to open the service. First, I want to deal with this, how do you get the blessing? Well, several things that go into that. First, you get the blessing by the election of God. You remember how the Lord came to Rebekah and told her, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." He told her the elder should serve the younger. Now that is election. God choosing who he would save and God choosing the worst, the least. If you and I were going to choose somebody to save, every person in this room would choose Esau. We just wouldn't much like Jacob. God chose Jacob to save. So the blessing comes by God's election, and it does not come by man's works. Now, Genesis 27, verse 1. "It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Now, Isaac knew the birthright and the blessing belonged to Jacob, didn't he? This is not something Rebekah kept to herself. He knew this. He's an old man, and he loves his son Esau. Can't blame him. Of course he loves his son Esau. Of course he does. He loves Esau. And he loved the venison that Esau went out and hunted and cooked and prepared for him. And Isaac is going to give Esau the blessing by works. He said, "Go out there and get me some venison and I'll give you the blessing." Now he knows it belongs to Jacob. But he said, by works now, you go out there and get me some venison, I'm going to give you the blessing. Now, you know the end of the story. We know Esau did not receive the blessing. And you know why Esau didn't receive the blessing? That's in Isaac's heart right now. But you know why Esau doesn't receive the blessing? It's because it's God's will that Jacob be blessed. It's God's will that Jacob receive the birthright, and God's will is going to be carried out. Now, this is a picture to us that salvation is not by works. It's not by what we do for God. Salvation comes by what God does for us. And salvation doesn't come by our natural birth. Who it is that we're related to, salvation is in a new birth. Salvation doesn't come by our natural abilities. It's by God's grace. Salvation is through the promise of God. That's where salvation begins, in the promise of God. When God elected a people, chose a people to save, and God never chooses somebody that can do something for him. He always chooses the least deserving, those who can do nothing for him, that he must do everything for them. That's who God chooses. You get the blessing, first of all, it begins here in the election of God. Number two, you get this blessing through the sacrifice of Christ, verse 5. "And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now Rebekah told Jacob to go get a kid, to get a lamb from the flock, and to kill it. And she would fix it just the way his father, Isaac, liked. Now, there's no excuse at all for what Rebekah and Jacob are doing here in deceiving Isaac. No excuse for it whatsoever. Rebekah knew very well what the promise of God was. The Lord came and told her before these boys were born, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. I'm going to make a great nation out of Jacob. Jacob is the one that's going to be blessed of me. The elder shall serve the younger. She knew that. She knew it, didn't she? But she wasn't acting in faith at this time. She knew the promise of God, but she thought, well, looks like this thing's all going to fall apart. I'm going to help God out in this matter and deceive Isaac. And there's no excuse for that. That's not acting in faith. But you know what? God overruled even that to accomplish his purpose in the redemption of his people, to give us a picture of the redemption that we have in Christ. And like I said, there's no excuse for them deceiving Isaac. We won't get hung up on that. The point is the kid, the lamb that Jacob got and killed. That lamb is a picture of Christ. The way that Rebekah cooked that lamb, that pleased Isaac, Jacob's father. That's a picture of Christ. His sacrifice pleased the Father. Now the blessing begins with God's election, doesn't it? But election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. There also must be a sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He came as the Lamb of God to be slain as a sacrifice for God's elect people to purchase their redemption. And that sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ, pleased God the Father. It pleased his every attribute. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, Isaiah said. The sacrifice of Christ pleased God's holiness. It pleased God's justice. That sacrifice put away the sin that made God angry. And he's pleased. But you know, that sacrifice pleased God's every attribute. It pleased his love. It pleased his mercy. It pleased his grace. The sacrifice of Christ is what enabled God to be merciful and gracious to sinners. The sacrifice of Christ is the demonstration of God's love for his people, that he sacrificed his own son so that he might save them. And the death of Christ is a sweet-smelling savor to God. How many times do we read in Scripture about man's religion? Something that makes man feel good. God says, it's smoke of my nose. It's an offense to me. But the sacrifice of Christ, now that's a sweet savor to the Father, because it satisfies him. Look, hold your place there. Look over at verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, unto Jacob, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his raiment. And he blessed him and said, See, the smell is of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. That smell pleased Isaac, because he associated that smell with his son Isaac. The smell of Christ's sacrifice pleases the Father. It pleases his every attribute. And the only way, and the reason we make such a point of this is this, the only way God the Father can be pleased with the likes of you and me is in his Son. Not on what we've done, but in who Christ is and what he has accomplished for our people. The only way the Father can bless you and me is if we're in Christ our substitute, if our sin has been punished in him. But now look at verse 11. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me then. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Now, Jacob is completely right here. I'm deceiving my father. If he feels me, he's going to know I'm a deceiver. He's going to bring a curse upon me. And Rebekah said, Don't you worry about this. This matter of deceiving your father. If he finds out, let it all fall on me. Let all the blame fall on me. Let that curse fall on me, not you. Now, I know you see a clear picture of Christ here, don't you? The Savior said to the Father of his people, Put their sin on me. Let the curse fall on me and not on them. Let the curse fall on me and I'll bear it away from them. And let them live. And since Christ died, there's no curse of sin left for God's people. Because Christ bore it away. That's how we get the blessing. It's in the sacrifice of Christ. He bore the curse of our sin away. All right, thirdly, you get this blessing by being clothed in Christ's righteousness. Verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now Rebekah took Esau's best outfit that he had, and she put it on Jacob. Now again, I know you see the picture here, don't you? This is a picture of being clothed in Christ's righteousness. All of God's people are clothed in Christ's righteousness. And it has to be that way. We can't come to God in our works, can we? Now our works produce what? Scripture says filthy rags. And that doesn't mean like a dust rag, you know, you use, it gets dirty. Janet tears up her old towels and makes rags out of them. Doesn't seem like they last very long. They get too dirty even for her to use as a rag. She throws them away and tears up another towel. That's our works. They're not that. They're filthy rags. They're rags that are defiled with sin. Salvation is being clothed in Christ's righteousness, in the spotless robe of His righteousness that He earned by His obedience to the law. And our obedience to the law doesn't contribute one stitch to that robe of righteousness. Now, when we talk about a robe of righteousness, listen to me now. This righteousness, Brother Scott Richardson used to say, is not pasted on. It's real. See, our story is a picture, isn't it? And that's all it is. It is a picture. You can't make a picture or type stand up on four legs. Jacob's still Jacob, isn't he? Clearly he's still Jacob. He's going there deceiving his blind father. And he's dressed in somebody else's clothes. That's all he is. He's Jacob dressed in somebody else's clothes. But when God saves his people, he clothes them in the robe of Christ's righteousness. And that doesn't mean he just covers up. He takes that perfect, precious robe, that robe of perfection, and covers up our filth and our sin and our guilt. It's all still there. It's just hidden from view because we got this robe on. That's not it at all. When God clothes his people, he makes them righteous. He makes them righteous through and through. And we get that in a picture, verse 16. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Now Rebekah made Jacob feel just like Isaac to an old blind man. Now you got to remember, this is a picture. They're dealing with an old blind man here. And put those skins on him to make him feel like Esau. But when God makes his people righteous, he makes them so righteous. He makes them so one with his son that even the father can't tell the difference. He's not blind. He sees all. He makes them just like his son. God makes his people the very righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by putting them in Christ. Now that's the blessing, isn't it? That's the blessed person who's been put in Christ, made just like Christ. All right, here's the fourth thing. You get the blessing as a gift from Christ's hand. Verse 17, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now Rebekah had planned this whole scheme, hadn't she? But when it came time to carry it out, she put it into the hand of her son Jacob. Jacob's got to carry this thing out now. Now that's a picture of redemption. The Father purposed the redemption of His people. He elected those people. He purposed to save them. And when time came, He put that whole purpose into the hand of His Son to carry out. If redemption is going to be carried out, Christ is going to have to do it. You and me, we can't be trusted with that. It's all put into the hand of the Son. The scroll is put into the hand of Christ, the Lamb, in the book of Revelation. That's all of God's purpose. No man was worthy, John said, to open the seals thereof. But Christ did. He took it in His hand and opened it. He carried out all of the purpose of the redemption of God's people. He carried it out. And if you and I are going to receive this blessing, we're going to have to receive it from the hand of Christ. We're going to have to receive it as a free gift of God's grace. It's not something we earn. It is a free gift of God's grace. And it goes back to the very first thing I said. Salvation is not earned by works. Salvation is a free gift of God's grace. It's a gift of God's sovereign grace. A gift that He gives to whomsoever He will. Christ earned that salvation from His Father, and He freely gives it to the people that He bought it for. If you and I are going to receive this blessing, we're going to have to come down. We're going to have to receive it as a free gift of God, as an undeserving mercy beggar. Now, God don't owe it to me. If He's going to give it to me, He's going to give it to me as an undeserving beggar. Now, that's how a sinner gets this blessing. It's by God's electing love. It's by the sacrifice of Christ. It's by being clothed in Christ's righteousness. And it's by receiving it as a free gift of God's grace. And that's how we receive the blessing. Now here's my second question. This is an important question. What is the blessing? Everybody here wants a blessing. What's the blessing? What's the blessing that God gives that is the blessing? We're going to see this in a moment. There are two blessings. Which one is your heart set on? Well, the blessing is all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 28. This is the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob. He thought it was Esau, the blessing that came to Jacob. He said, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Now this is a picture of the blessing that the Father gave the Son. He gave Him the dew of heaven. Now the dew of heaven is what gives life to the earth. It's what makes the earth fruitful. Well, this blessing is in Christ. Christ is the one that gives life to His people. Christ is the one that makes His people fruitful. The dew of heaven gives the fatness of the earth. It gives plenty of corn to feed the hearts of God's people. It gives them plenty of wine to make their hearts happy, to make them happy in Christ. See, all of this is the blessing. It's spiritual life in Christ Jesus. And this life is full of the fatness of God's grace. It's every blessing He has for sinners. This life is a fruitful life. This life bears the fruit of the Spirit. We bear this fruit of the Spirit because we're connected to Christ the vine. Now, we can only have this. This blessing is only found one place. In Christ. But what fullness that there is in Him. The fullness of this blessing. And all God's people are given these blessings freely in Christ. Verse 29. Let people serve thee, the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now part of this blessing is bowing to Christ the King. Nobody's going to receive this blessing that's not bowing to Christ the King. The Father made His Son King. And if we're going to have Him as Savior, first we're going to bow to Him as King. first. Christ is the king. What did the Father say to him? You sit here on my right hand. Do I make your enemies your footstool? Christ is the king. Well, what a blessing that God's people enjoy to be put into the kingdom of Christ. A king that has a kingdom's got people who live in it, doesn't it? Well, Christ is the king, and his people are put under the rule of Christ our Savior. And what a blessing to be enabled by God's Spirit to bow down and worship Christ now. We know one day every knee's going to bow, don't we? Every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord. What a blessing to be enabled to bow now and worship him now. Because God can only be worshipped in Christ. God can only be worshipped by us when we're at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't that a blessing to bow to him? Isn't it a blessing to bow and to serve Christ? How do you serve him? By serving his people. By serving one another. What a blessing. God gives you the opportunity to serve one of his people. That's God's blessing to his people. But there's a curse on those who don't bow, who don't worship. And that brings us to Esau. Remember our text said that Isaac blessed both Jacob and Esau concerning things to come in. Two blessings, and one for Jacob. Well, what's the blessing for Esau? Esau got a blessing too. Verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father. And said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Now, you might be wondering, if Isaac wanted to bless Esau, even though he knew God said the blessing belongs to Jacob, how is it that Isaac is blessing Jacob and Esau in faith? Hebrews 11 says he blessed him in faith, didn't he? How is it he's wanting to give this blessing to Esau in faith? Well, I believe I can help you. We need to remember this. Having faith doesn't mean I never do anything wrong. Having faith doesn't mean I never think anything wrong. Having faith doesn't mean that I never determine I want to do something wrong. Having faith, saving faith, that doesn't mean we've gotten rid of that old nature that wants to earn our salvation by works, that wants some credit before God by how well we've lived. Having saving faith doesn't mean we got rid of that old man. Having saving faith means this, that you live a life of civil war going on inside you. That you live, that new man lives. He's a man of faith. He loves God. He believes God. But he's living with an old man of the flesh. And they're going to fuss and fight against each other as long as you live. But in the end, there's this man, the man of flesh and the man of faith. The man of flesh does not rule. He does not rule. Now that doesn't mean we don't do the sinful things that we want to do. No, we do them. But he doesn't rule in this sense. He can't make us not believe anymore. He can't make us not love God. He can't make us leave Christ. He cannot do it. He does not rule. In the end, faith always bows to God's will and to God's way. Every time. That's what Isaac did in verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. See, Isaac trembled in faith. He trembled before God in faith. And in faith, this is what he knew. Jacob shall be blessed. He shall be blessed. Because now he realizes this has been God's will all along. And nothing I can do is going to thwart it. Well, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob, but supplanter? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Now you see, Esau, he really doesn't care anything about the birthright. The birthright is a spiritual blessing. It's the spiritual leadership of the family. He don't care about that. You know what he does care about? He just don't want Jacob to have it. But he doesn't really care about the spiritual, the blessing. He doesn't even really care about the blessing that Jacob got. I mean, he just didn't want Jacob to have it. He said, just give me any blessing. Just bless me in some way. I don't care. I don't want Jacob to have anything, but just give me some blessing. Any blessing. That's what he says at the end of verse 34. Bless me, even me also, O my father. Just give me any blessing. At the end of verse 36, hast thou not reserved a blessing? Any blessing for me? And look at verse 38. Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. He just wanted some blessing. I don't care what it is, just any blessing. That's what he's asking for. See that? He didn't care about the spiritual blessing. And Isaac blessed Esau too. But this blessing is all earthly, material things. Verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now this blessing is all an earthly, material blessing. There's no spiritual blessing in here at all, because there's just one spiritual blessing. Just one. It's all in Christ. Jacob has it. Now this is all a material blessing, and it satisfied Esau. And I can show you that. Remember, years later, you know the story. Isaac is determined to kill Jacob. Soon as Isaac, his father, dies and the days of his mourning are over, he's going to kill Jacob. I mean, he's going to settle this matter. Well, Jacob ran away. He's gone for years and years and years, and now he's returning home. He had to return home because he burned his bridges there too. His father-in-law's going to kill him too. Everybody's going to kill Jacob. And he's returning home. But he's afraid. Esau's going to remember this thing. Esau's still going to kill me. As he gets closer and closer and closer to home, what Jacob did is he sent the family. And he sent lots and lots and lots of gifts, one gift after another. Sent them ahead of him to get to Esau first, hoping he could bribe Esau and make Esau not want to kill him anymore. Look over a few pages at Genesis 33. I'll show you this. Verse 8. And he, this is Esau, he said, what meanest thou with all this drove which I have met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Esau's not mad anymore, is he? He wasn't intending to kill his brother. He said, I've got enough. He said, I got everything I want. God gave me everything I want. He gave me so many riches. I don't want all this stuff that you're going to give me. God gave me everything I want. The Lord's made me a rich man. But you know what is so sad? Was so heartbreaking when you read that. Esau was completely satisfied. And he had no spiritual blessing whatsoever. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't have faith in Christ. He didn't have spiritual life. But he was happy. He had material wealth. The Lord gave Esau the blessing he wanted. And what happened? The Lord's blessing was really a curse to Esau. The worst thing I can think of is God giving me exactly what I want. Worst thing I can think of. I'd be thrilled to hear
Lord blessed one of you with a big job, big promotion, big raise. I'd be thrilled about that. But it also could worry you, couldn't it? That can take me away from Christ. That can make me feel like I'm not so dependent anymore. In Esau's case, that's exactly what happened. It was a curse. Esau said, "Brother, I got enough. I got everything I want. I'm satisfied." But look what Jacob said in verse 10. And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I found grace in thy sight, then receive my present in my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing, which is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. He still took it, because Esau just getting more of what he wanted. Now, it sounds like both these boys are saying the same thing, don't they? I've got enough. I've got enough. But the word enough that Jacob uses is a completely different Hebrew word. Esau said, "I've got enough. I got enough earthly riches to make me satisfied." But when Jacob says, "I've got enough," he's saying, "I have all things." All things. The word that Jacob uses means the whole. God's given me the whole. He's given me all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jacob had the forgiveness of sins. Jacob had seen the face of God. Jacob wrestled with the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "I will not go, let you go, except you bless me." And he blessed him. He changed his name from Jacob. You no longer will you be called Jacob. No longer will you be called a cheat and a supplanter. Now your name is Israel. You're a prince with God. You got power with God. You've been given a new name and a new birth, the name of Christ himself. You've got power with God. You've got righteousness. You got justification. You got sanctification. Jacob, you got eternal life. You got peace with God. You've got a good hope through grace. And on top of that, Jacob wasn't starving either, was he? No, he had all this present to send his brother Esau. He had all things. And that's the blessing. The blessing is all spiritual blessings in heavenly places given to us in Christ Jesus. What God determined before to give to his people. What Christ bought with his sacrifice for his people. And what he gives his people by his grace. That's the blessing. There's a couple lessons here I think we can learn and take home about this matter of faith's blessing. Number one is this. God Almighty saves whom he will. I wish I could get people to start any religion that they want to say that they're in with this. Who's God? Now, God is God. He saves whom he will because he does as he will. Salvation is of the Lord. We can't earn it, but thank God he gives it freely to whom he will. Number two is this. The people that God saves, his elect, they're always the least deserving. Matter of fact, they don't deserve it at all because when God saves sinners, he saves the worst sinners. God saves sinners for his glory. Do you know that? Salvation doesn't have anything to do with you and me. It's for God's glory. I love what Brother Nyberg says about this. God will save every sinner and he can get all the glory in saving them. Well, are you such a bad sinner, you got no hope but Christ? Then you got a good hope. God saves sinners for his glory. So the question is not, am I good enough for God to be saved? Have I done enough for God to save me? The question is, am I bad enough for God to save me? Am I completely sinful so that I can't do anything for God? Is that you? Then you got a good hope because God saves sinners for his glory. It wouldn't be very glorious to save somebody that could do half the work, could it? It would be pretty glorious if you saved somebody that could do none of it. And you had to do all of it for him. God saves sinners for his glory. Number three is this. God gives everyone, every son of Adam, exactly what they want. Exactly. In every single case. And you think, wait a minute, nobody wants to go to hell. Wait a minute. By nature, we don't want to be saved on God's terms. See, the issue is not whether you want to go to hell or you want to go to heaven. Of course you want to go to heaven. Of course you don't want to go to hell. That's not the issue. The issue is bowing to Christ. And by nature, none of us want to be saved on God's terms. By nature, none of us want to bow to Christ. None of us want to have salvation in Christ's righteousness without any of it, us being added to by our works. So, God gives the lost exactly what they want. They can't blame God for sending them to hell. They didn't want to be saved on God's terms through the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave them what they wanted. Now, if you want to be saved on God's terms, if your desire is to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, if your desire is to be saved by Christ without any of your works being added to it, if your desire is to bow to Christ and be saved on God's terms, then I tell you what you do. If that's your desire, I tell you what you do. You call out on God for mercy and you be like blind Bartimaeus and don't stop. Don't stop calling. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't stop. And Almighty God says he'll save you. The day you seek him with all your heart, God said, you'll find him. He'll save you. Because here's the thing. You know, if you want to be saved on God's terms, if your desire is to have your sin forgiven, you know the only reason you desire that? God's already done a work of grace in your heart. You didn't desire that by nature. God gave you a new heart that desires that. Now you call on him, and he'll save you. He will. The only reason anybody wants to be saved on God's terms is God's already given a new heart. And you call on him. Here's the fourth thing. Every one of us have loved ones that don't know the Lord, have no interest in him. I mean, they'd do anything not to hear the gospel. Well, you take comfort in this. I don't know if God's going to save them or not, but this I know. This is the fourth thing. Absolutely nothing stop God's purpose of the redemption of his people. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Isaac's weak faith and Esau's greed didn't take the blessing from Jacob, did it? Rebecca's weak faith and Jacob's cheating didn't make God take it away from Jacob either. Their weak faith and their cheating and their sin could not stop God's purpose. It couldn't help God's purpose, couldn't help it along, and it couldn't stop God's purpose either. And all through his life, how many mistakes, I mean huge mistakes, did Jacob make? How long did he live in sin and rebellion that never made him lose the blessing? Because nothing that will ever stop God's purpose of redemption for his people. And that gives me confidence to call on him. Does it, Jesus? If hearing nothing will stop God's purpose of redemption, if that makes you sit back and say, well, whatever will be, you know, if God's going to save me, he's going to save me, nothing I can do about it, then you've not learned right of God's grace and God's sovereignty. But if you hear nothing will stop God's purpose of redemption, and that makes you say, God, save me, you've learned grace right. God, help us to call on him. God, be pleased to hear us. For Christ's sake. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, we thank you for this word, this glorious picture of the blessing of redemption in Christ our Savior. Father, I pray that you would cause your word to take root in the heart of your people. That you cause us to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you cause us to one more time come to Christ. To whom coming? To come to him for all we need. For he is the blessing. Oh, Father, give us Christ. Give us Christ or else we die. Whatever else you do or don't give us in this life, give us Christ. Give us faith in Him. Enable us to leave here this morning believing in, rejoicing in, and resting in Christ our Savior. We know it's all by Thy grace, Your purpose for Your people, and Father, we're thankful. Bless us for Christ's sake.